Joining me now on Our Town is Norma Wood. She is a licensed clinical social worker at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center here in Florence. And good day.
Good day.
So you've got an event coming up in April, later on this month, the 16th. Tell me a little bit about it.
It's a pretty low-key, informal, easy-to-plug-into workshop in which a colleague of mine, Nancy Smith, who's also a social worker with Peace Harbor Home Health and Hospice, we get together and engage people in a conversation about end-of-life concerns, healthcare directives, how they're feeling about things, and what they would like as their wishes. A big part of our conversation with them is to help people adjust to having the conversation, because we don't always like to talk about the end of our life or death or the dying process.
Well, and the time to have the conversation is not when you're sick,
correct?
Right?
Correct.
It's before that. And what ages are they starting to talk about this now, or do they want people to start talking about this?
Right.
Now?
And so the advanced directive in particular publicizes itself as being available for people 18 to 108. So as soon as someone's an adult and could realistically make decisions for themselves, we want them to also include someone in that conversation that they can appoint as their healthcare representative to make decisions if they can't speak or aren't in a position to make those decisions.
Now, is this also important for end of life as well as just for maybe a long-term illness that creeps up on somebody? Like off there, you mentioned influenza.
Right. And so we never know how our body's going to respond to even typical illnesses or more common diseases, things like diabetes or ulcers or stress-related factors that may influence our life. And so any of those kinds of things could render us unable to speak for ourselves or to communicate with doctors what our wishes are in treatment, not just the end of life, but when we're very sick.
And like you said, nobody really wants to talk about it. So how difficult is it to get the conversation started? When you have one of these events like this, how difficult is it to get folks that maybe a lot of times in events like this, you'll get people who are already talking about it. But
that's
how difficult is
true.
It to get the people who aren't already talking about it?
Right. It can be difficult because it makes us think about ourselves not being here anymore,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
So we engage.
We're not immortal.
We're not immortal. And there's kind of only one way out of this life,
right.
Or beyond this life.
Right.
And so we have a number of different approaches. One of the things that research has shown us that helps people to talk about it is to have people being willing to talk about it, to ask the question. Kind of like when we think about suicide, people don't want to ask about that because they're afraid they'll put the idea into someone's head. Well, me asking you if you've ever thought about talking about the end of your life isn't going to make the end of your life happen.
Right. And it's not going to make it not happen. I mean, you know, it's
right.
We're all, like you said, we're all going out of this the same way.
Right.
Know?
And so really modeling is the best approach and, you know, being warm and welcoming and inviting people into the conversation. You're absolutely right that people that have been appearing for our workshops are people that are curious or have thought I should do something about this and just haven't had the motivation maybe to get it started or to actually fill out their advanced directive. So
as a licensed clinical social worker, have you noticed how many years you've been doing this?
25 plus.
Have you noticed a difference in the younger generation maybe being more willing to talk about it or less willing to talk about it, you know, based on how they were brought up or how they grew up? Is there a change or a difference between, say, the older folks?
Not necessarily.
No?
It really is impacted by how we are brought up and how what our experiences have been with people close to us dying or passing away, however you talk about that. Over time, I think in our society, a lot of things that used to be taboo to be talked about are more readily talked about. But it really is person to person. I was encouraged. I attended one of the conversation projects on dying that happened at Lane Community College recently, and there were several younger people there. There were people there that early community college age, early 20s, that went to very, very old. So it's exciting to see those younger people being interested and being willing to talk, but I can't say that I've seen an increase in that.
Now, I know we've had someone on the program, Bruce Yelly, who was here talking about changing the law in Oregon because of how it's written. It may not be It may not be in time for some people who want to make certain decisions about that. You guys don't necessarily deal with the end-of-life director for Oregon, or do you discuss that in some of your conversations?
No, we certainly do. So are you thinking about the Pulst, the physician order for end-of-life treatment?
The physician order, like, in other words, okay, you know, I'm not going to sign something that says you have 6 months to live because, you know, I don't want to be responsible for that. But if you do, then it may be too late at that point to get the kind of care or to set up the end of life that you want to happen.
Right. And the Pulse isn't really, it doesn't have a 6 month marker.
Doesn't?
No. So again, a Pulse is different than the advanced directive. A Pulse is often utilized or helpful for people when they definitely have a terminal illness diagnosis or when they are growing visibly weaker as they reach end of life based on just age. Mm-hmm. But the advanced directive is a way, those two really work together. The advanced directive is a way to promote conversation among people and to help people think at an earlier age about what we're going to want as we get to be older,
right,
or if we're stricken with a terminal illness.
Or maybe even a car accident.
Right.
That leaves you, you know, unconscious or in a coma or in some kind of situation where you can't make decisions for yourself.
That's right.
So that's another big thing that, people can think about. It's not, well, I'm not going to get sick. You know, that people
that's
say, well,
right,
I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm not going to get sick.
Right.
But there's other things. You know,
absolutely. Living here, the sneaker wave phenomenon.
Sneaker wave. Driving up 126 lately has
that's
not
right
been a good thing either. I mean, it's been one of those things where the ODOT's actually looking into what they can do about, you know. So, I mean,
right,
yes, there's sudden things that happen that all of a sudden, you know, you're not aware of that are going to happen to you.
Right. And then you may be unconscious or you may temporarily just be paralyzed and not able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may not be of sound enough mind to say what you really want at that point. So
are people turning to things like, say, a video presentation of what they want? You know, I mean, because I wondered if, you know, because a lot of times.
So rather than writing it on paper, are they videoing themselves?
Or both. Or? You know, so in other words, hey, this is to really prove that I wrote this, or this is to really prove that this is what I want. You can't, once I go into a coma, or once I am incapable of making my decision, you can't refute this because here it is.
Right.
Is that something that people are doing as well?
There are people that do that, sure.
Yeah.
That's not something that I'm involved with on a daily basis, but certainly some younger folks especially, but not all younger either. We have an amazing elder population here that's very well educated and very well versed in technology. And so sometimes those folks as well video themselves.
That seems like it'd be a little more intense than just writing a letter, though, or writing a directive.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, well, I don't know. It could be.
I would find it harder to do myself, you know, than to write a letter.
It might be more emotional, you're thinking, because you're actually maybe visualizing that you're saying something directly to somebody. But remember, the advanced directive is really to help your loved ones instruct the doctors. So maybe if you were videoing, if you thought you were talking to your doctor, you might be less emotional and more directive, right?
That's a really good idea, yeah.
Because these are for your medical decisions. This isn't about, although these conversations lead all kinds of places when you have them with your family or your friends, right? But the advanced directive or National Healthcare Decision Day isn't focused on who I want to get my favorite sweater or where my pet is going to go after.
This
you
is
know,
certainly
that can
medical,
be a part of it,
yeah.
but it's very much medical related, right?
All right. Well, let's talk about when and where this is happening then. I know it's
sure.
April 16th.
It's April 16th, which is a Monday.
It's a Monday, okay.
Which is kind of hard because people may not remember that it's Monday, but it's a Monday.
Okay.
It's from 1 to 3 at Lane Community College. It is in room 130. We'll have some signs up, but it's in that big first room, and they'll direct you. We do start off with a little bit of a video presentation from a doctor, you know, who's talking about the benefits of doing your advanced directive. And really, National Healthcare Decision Day is something that's a piece of publicity. It's put out there to get people's attention, and it's in a lot of papers and on radio shows and television programs to promote the idea that we need to make some plans ahead of time. The advanced directive is one of those great tools then that we are just combining with highlighting that day.
Speaking of making plans ahead of time, is there anything that people need to bring or anything they should know before they come, or is it just come in and join the conversation?
I would say just come in and join the conversation. Absolutely. Right. And we're very happy to follow up with people outside of the workshop if they need some more assistance, but we'll go through the advanced directive and help them understand how to fill it out and begin to have that conversation with them.
Well, that's pretty cool. I think it's an awesome thing. It's something that everybody should, at some point in their life, early on, hopefully, start talking about.
So I probably shouldn't ask you if you have your advanced directive completed.
I have not had my advanced directive completed, but I think it's something I need. I actually was thinking about that this morning. I was getting ready for work. I was coming in, and I said, if something happened to me right now, how would my sister know about it, who lives in Arizona, unless someone went rummaged through my phone? And they wouldn't know because my sister's last name is different than me. So it's like, yeah, I think that's something that, you know, somebody needs to know about. So
the advanced directive is really set up as a really nice workbook. It's set up like a workbook. I always tell people it even has tear-out pages.
There you go.
Just like when we were little kids. But it helps people understand some of the situations that might arise, takes them through many scenarios. There's a whole section for checking boxes about what you wouldn't want, as well as lines for you to fill in why you chose what you chose. Hmm. So that helps it not to be disputed by family members who appear from who knows where when the process gets underway. And then the very end section is that advance directive where you're appointing your healthcare representatives. And it's a pretty self-guided, easy piece of material to use. So.
Of course,
it's a good thing.
You want someone you trust making those decisions.
That's right. And it's not always the person that you might first think about. It's not always the person that's the closest to you, because that person actually may have a really hard time carrying out what you want them to do.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's a lot to consider.
And you don't, but then again, you don't want somebody who has like no feelings for you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Give me George's end of life directive there. I'll fix him.
That's right.
Well, Norma, thank you so much. And
you're
again,
welcome.
It's April 16th from 1 to 3 Lane Community College. That's Monday.
No charge. You don't have to register. Just show up.
All right.
We'll work with you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We'll return with more Our Town after the news on Coast Radio.